The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome to an edition of Dark Side of the Pooch. Dr. Rab, what you got? I still laugh every single time I hear that. Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, in business for over 50 years, or nearly 50 years, since 1974, I think it is, right there in the Homewood. They're doing all kinds of construction stuff down there on the street, but they're wide open. They've got exotic pets, man. If you want a great exotic pet, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure your exotic pet is healthy, that you have a long life friendship with that exotic pet. They've got chinchillas, they got rabbits, they got turtles, they got fish, they got parakeets, they got bearded dragons, tarantulas, snakes, you name it, they got it down there. And of course, Seth also loves his toys. He travels the United States of America and abroad looking for a wonderful collectibles of toys. So if you like to buy, sell, or trade, he will pick your stuff up, collectibles still in the box, Star Wars stuff and more. Check out Ed's Pet World. We've got a lot to get into today. We have a Guinness Book of World Record I want to get into with you. We also have dogs on drugs. I sent you a story a couple days ago. I hope you saw it. And also pet bills and inflation. And we got a couple of Mutt Mail emails as well. So you ready to jump right in?
I cannot wait.
All right. So let's get into the Guinness Book of World Records. This is an amazing story. Just set yesterday for a dog named Pebbles. It's a toy fox terrier from South Carolina. What do you think this dog set? What kind of record?
The longest time standing still.
You're close. March 28th, 2000 is when it was born.
What?
Yeah. It's 22 years old. Yeah. Which set a new record. The old record was 21, but it's a 22 year old toy fox terrier born in 2000. Isn't that amazing?
I bet it has, more teeth, more years than teeth. Yeah. I bet it has more years than teeth.
What's the oldest animal you've ever taken care of? And what's the, I've never heard of a dog growing past like 16 or 17. 22 is crazy.
I've never had a 22-year-old dog. I think I've had a 20-year-old cat. Maybe it was a 21-year-old cat. 20 or 21-year-old cat. I mean, the oldest dog I think is probably 18 for me. So I don't, you know, I hate to admit that there is a veterinarian out there somewhere who has kept a dog alive longer than me, but you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, you gotta recognize the game. So,
And so the 7 years, for every year, the dog year thing, that is typical in average, correct? Because early in their life, it is probably even a little higher than 7 years, but then it backs off as they get older. Is that how that works? And does it work the same way with cats?
You're right. So early on, it's kind of a bell curve. Well, I guess maybe a bell curve is not the best way to explain it, but early on in their life, they age faster. And then towards the middle of their life, it slows down. So in the middle of their life, 1 year probably does equal 7 years. And then as they get older at some point, you know, 1 year is less than 7 years. And there's no way to know exactly because, you know, it's just, you know, here's how long a dog will live on average, or here's the median age, you know, that a dog dies. So you can't be exact with it, but we do know that the whole 1 in 7 is not exactly true, especially at the beginning of their life and the end of their life. And cats are also similar.
It's pretty amazing. 22 years old, and kudos to that family because every day that dog lives, it's setting a new record. Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart at Rossbridge. Right to Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, and of course, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. Get on their site and check out all their wonderful stuff. They're out there at Rossbridge. He does a wonderful job. 208-0301, 208-0301. It is a Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart. Interesting story I sent you a couple days ago, and a sad story out of Albuquerque. A family takes their dog for a walk. Dog gets home, it starts to vomit, gets really sick, it starts to walk kind of funny. They bring it into the veterinarian, and it tests positive for methamphetamines. And they're saying that it's a really sad situation. Obviously, there's a park and the dog was running around and getting some exercise. But they also said that perhaps it didn't ingest it through its mouth, but possibly through its paws. Is that possible? Dogs ingest things through their paws? And how many times have you seen this happen where dogs have actually had some type of drug overdose or something they're not supposed to ingest?
There's a lot of different medications that can be absorbed topically. So through the skin, through the paws. Yeah. Now I don't, to my knowledge, I have not had a dog be exposed to, you know, meth. You know, I think I, at one point in time, I think I had a dog eat some Adderall, which is an amphetamine, but I don't think that this article is talking about something like that. No, you know, I mean, meth, I think this was, yeah, I think this is just straight meth. So I've never had a dog do that. But as far as your question of topical stuff, it's really incredible what you can have formulated for medicinal purposes these days. Just about any drug you can think of that you're trying to give a dog or cat, you can have a compounding pharmacy make a transdermal gel of that medication. Certain medications are better given on an oral route, and some are better with it on a topical route. But some pets they just won't take anything orally, so you have to kind of get creative.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me at all that something can be absorbed through the skin like methamphetamines, because we do that on purpose all the time with other medications. We just have them put in a transdermal vehicle and we put them on the skin.
Have you, I saw other stories, and obviously we don't have this issue here in Alabama because it's not legal, but have you talked to any other veterinarians across the country? I know you travel and do conferences and stuff about the ingestion of cannabis, since it seems so relevant and prevalent throughout the rest of the, because if you look up stories and you look at just pull up dog ingest cannabis, there's hundreds of stories out there where animals are getting to people's stashes.
Yeah, it's happening. I mean, it's happening all over. We get more and more continuing education on using it legitimately.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, forget it, you know, my dog or cat got into my stash. You go to just about any conference that is around and they're going to have somebody speaking there on cannabis. I mean, I got, there's a publication that I get in my inbox every day. And the headline of the article was what you need to know about cannabis oil, you know? So mm-hmm. It's just like in people, it's made its way into legitimate medical circles, and we're no different. I think that as far as the research goes in pets, you know, there's still not a whole lot to support how much it could work and on what it could work. There's lots of, anecdotal evidence, you know, that it helps calm them down and it helps with pain and it helps with anxiety and seizures, the same stuff that you see in people.
Yeah.
But you know, we won't get into it, but there are some conspiracists out there that would claim why there's not good journal articles or studies supporting it. You know, big pharma being one, but you know, that's, who knows what the truth is. And someday we'll know what works and how it works and at what dose it works.
There's no doubt. This is Dark Side of the Pooch every Monday here on Tony Curry Radio. Tony Curry Radio is Dark Side of the Pooch Monday, period. The show runs at noon and 8. It runs fresh and new. A lot of people are going to Spotify, listen to all your previous episodes. Spotify is blowing up. It's doing great. You can leave us emails there. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, become a bonehead, leave us emails. We'll get to our mutt mail coming up in a few minutes. But then people are listening to those shows. They want to hear the new fresh shows. So I'm loving the fact that we're on top of this. And of course, it runs every Monday at noon and 8. And thanks to the thousands of folks who tune in every single Monday here on Tony Curry Radio on the Tony Curry Radio app. It's all free. Everything's free. You don't have to pay a subscription or anything through Spotify or Tony Curry Radio. Get after it. I have one more final story here. And this is a serious story, but I really want to get your personal views on it. According to WGME, in Portland, Maine, Rachel Mullen recently adopted a German Shepherd puppy from a breeder. However, the puppy named Jax was forced to take a visit to the vet after he ingested a wooden skewer. While speaking with the local news station, she said that her usual vet recommended that she take her puppy to the Maine Veterinarian Medical Center for further care following the accident. The last thing she said was she gave him a hug and a kiss and told him to get better. Then they came out and said that she would have to pay a $10,000 bill for her puppy's procedure. She said, obviously, I can't come up with 10 grand. And so they're taking her puppy away from her, and they're not allowing her to get it back unless they pay this, well, I almost look at it as a ransom. She's tried to GoFundMe page to raise the money, and obviously that's not working. So let me ask you this question. You've got someone that brings an animal into the Rossburg Animal Hospital, and it needs a procedure that is going to be a super expensive, and you can put a name, whatever you want to put on it. And obviously this person cannot pay that. But you know, by having this procedure done to this animal, it would save its life. What action do you take?
The first thing we want to do is be as sure as we can that there's no surprises in the bill.
Yeah.
So we're going to make an estimate, you know, and try to be as close to the number as we can. But there are, you know, unforeseen things that can happen that can either make the bill lower or make the bill higher. You know, sometimes we are thinking, hey, this is worst case scenario, and it's probably going to be $2,000 or $3,000. And we find out that it's half of that.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll kind of, here's your doomsday scenario number. Here is your most likely number. So, you know, you have a range there. And we, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, I try to stick to that. Even if we have something weird happen,
yep.
You know, that's why we give a low and a high. I don't know what all happened to that dog for $10,000, but I mean, I've never billed anybody for even half that much,
yeah,
for a procedure. If you know, it's a hard situation, and I could probably talk for a long time on this, mm-hmm. but veterinarians as a whole are, we love animals, and the people that work here love animals, and we don't want to see them suffer, and we want to see them get better.
Yeah.
But you know, we do also have to pay for the medication that we use. We have to pay our staff. We have to pay ourselves. We have to pay the rent or the mortgage or, you know, in my case, the HOA, you know, I mean, there's a lot of overhead in our business, because we offer a lot of services. We offer daycare and boarding and medicine and surgery and, preventative stuff, wellness stuff, sick stuff. We try to do, I think where, veterinary medicine kind of gets set apart is because we literally try to be everything to our clients because we care about them and love them.
Sure.
And we don't want to give them the runaround like can happen in human medicine, where you go into a general practitioner and they try to help you as best they can, but by the time you're out of there, they have a referral set up to a gastroenterologist, a cardiologist, a dermatologist, and an ENT. And you're like, yeah. Hey, I got a job. I'm not a professional doctor visit goer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to do everything we can here. And I think because of that, we have a high overhead. So there's always in our profession, there has been this line in the sand of trying to help even people who may be a little less fortunate, but also trying to get paid for our services. So I've never been one that has made people pay up front for anything.
Yeah.
Because you know, I just come from a place where it was, you know, you do the job and you get paid and you're going to be responsible and do the job. And the people you're working for are going to be responsible and they're going to pay you. So we give people estimates and we trust that they're going to pay us. And if they can't, they say, I can't afford this. And then we come up with different options.
There you go.
You know, and that's what it's about.
Yeah. And I just by reading this story, and I've seen the story all over the place, it seems like a real racket. I don't know what kind of damage a wooden skewer could do to a puppy, but 10 grand seems like a large amount. And the fact that she sent this dog off without knowing how much it was going to cost doesn't seem right to me at all. Of course, our human health care does that a lot in hospitals around.
I mean, it sounds like for $10,000 that they they skewered the dog, roasted it, brought it back to life. You know, hey, you know, we made a meal out of this thing, but guess what? We made you a new dog and it's alive now.
Yeah. Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Nearly 50 years in the business down there in beautiful Homewood. 879-1331, 879-1331. Check out Ed's Pet World and check out the toy selection down there. They have all kinds of exotic pets. I go down there every single week. I love Ed's Pet World. Proud sponsor of Dark Side of the Pooch. You can listen to the show every Monday at noon and 8, and then listen to it whenever you want to on demand at Spotify. To search Spotify, our stuff's also up on Audio Boom. So wherever you find your favorite podcast, search Dark Side of the Pooch. I can promise you it's the only podcast named Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart and Tony Curry, and check it out. Finally, before we get into some mutt mail here, the U.S. Labor Department came out earlier today and they said the cost for pet owners has increased 7% through this inflationary bulge we've got going on right now, which really sounds, quite frankly, pretty good. 7% doesn't sound like squat to me. I just paid $53 for a T-bone last night, so 7% doesn't sound bad. How has it affected you? Obviously, I know with trucks and processing, dog food has certainly gone up in price and everything you'd buy from a grocery store, but from a veterinarian standpoint, how are you doing through the inflation?
Most things have gone up. It's every time we get an invoice for things that we order, if we don't have several things on the invoice that have increased in price, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, almost everything has gone up.
Anything in particular that it's really shot up that's really surprising to you that you have to have?
Yeah. I mean, like for instance, the cost of dexamethasone, which is a steroid, and we use an injectable form of that. And it's used to treat, just tons of things, whether it's an allergy or an inflammation or an autoimmune disease. We even use it to diagnose certain diseases because we give it with certain laboratory tests.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a vital drug. The cost of one bottle went up 50%.
Wow.
Everything is going up, and some things, I would say that probably the majority of the things are in that 7% range. So that's probably where it comes from, is, 70% inflation. And I think, my accountant told me, he said inflation is about 7%. So I guess we're all reading the same thing, and whatever we're reading is true. It's hard. It's harder to live and get by today, than it was 2 years ago. And so it's not only inflation, but, your staff, they're having to pay those high prices for gas and groceries too. So we're trying to take care of everybody, and everyone is in the same boat. We're all in the same boat, thankfully. And so when I get stressed out about, this has gone up and we're going to have to pass this along to clients, which you do. I mean, you hate that has to happen, but we're no different than a lot of other businesses. And so when you kind of hit that that red line of stress, you just think, we're all in the same boat. We'll all get through this. You just say your prayers and let Jesus do the rest.
There you go. That's what you got to do. As soon as you surrender, it seems to take care of itself. He is Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And of course, listen to us every single Monday. Fresh new shows, noon and 8, right here on Tony Curry Radio and the Tony Curry Radio app, TonyCurryRadio.net. If you want to become a bonehead and leave your emails, you ready to knock out some emails?
Yeah.
Josie says, can Dr. Rab, this is perfect for this $10,000 bill. Can Dr. Rab, please give me the details on what pet insurance is and how it works. Is it worth it?
It can be for sure. A lot of pets that for whatever reason, they just have chronic issues. And sometimes you don't know up front if they're going to have chronic issues when you get them. The way that pet insurance works is the pet owner is reimbursed by the insurance company. So they go into a veterinary practice and the bill is whatever the bill is. And so the client would then pay the veterinary practice. Uh-huh. And the veterinary practice submits whatever the diagnosis was, whatever the medications were, and the total invoice. The veterinary practice will submit that to the insurance company. And then the insurance company reimburses the owner of the pet. Okay. So from a standpoint, for human medicine, that's not the way it works at all, obviously.
No.
You know, you pay a copay and then the insurance company pays the doctor.
Yeah.
So it's not like that with us. And I like that about it, because there's no, you know, it is what it is. Everyone knows what it is. And you know, you don't have to wait to get paid and that sort of thing. Cause that makes budgeting difficult.
Yeah. So how does it work with, I know how it works with houses and cars and obviously, you know, pre-existing conditions with the human body, but how does it work with animals? Do they do by breed or all animals? Is there a flat line of, doesn't matter what your dog is, or is it based on the age that you actually start to insure that animal? How's that work? Do you know?
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that there's of course different companies that will offer pet insurance, and there's also different plans. You can have plans that are wellness, so they'll help cover the cost of just your routine kind of maintenance. Mm-hmm. They'll have plans that will do emergencies only, and they'll have plans that will do everything. And there is a deductible that you have to hit, just like for human insurance. So in some ways it's similar, in some ways it's different, but I've never had pet insurance, so I don't really know that side of it, because we're really kind of separated from it. Yeah. The only thing we do is submit the bill and the diagnosis and the treatment. And since, you know, I can work on my own animals for not very much money, I don't need it. So I have no experience with it on the client side.
Yeah. And typically you would think it wouldn't be that expensive, because I can't think of too many things, you know, outside, you know, obviously a catastrophe or something where your animal gets hit by a car, whatever.
The thing that is, dogs have so many like nagging chronic problems, and probably the one that we see most often are allergies that would cause skin infections and ear infections. And if you are out there, I'm sure there are tons of people that are listening that have had a dog like this before. If you've had a dog that struggled with what's called atopic dermatitis, I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars a year on visits to your veterinarian, on medications, on diagnostics.
What is that?
So, atopic dermatitis is a condition where allergies cause skin inflammation and infection, and it also affects the ears, so ears and skin. So dogs are going to be allergic to plant-based allergens and food-based allergens. Mm. So they come in contact with these things. They either ingest them or they contact with them, like on their feet, for example. We talked about that with the meth.
Yeah.
If that makes them itchy. So if the dog would just not lick and chew and scratch, it would be okay. But dogs don't know that they shouldn't do that. So they lick, they chew, they scratch, and they get secondary infections because they have microscopic abrasions on their skin barrier, and they have dirty mouths and they have wet mouths. And so you get that abrasion on the skin barrier, and then you get that bacteria underneath the skin, and you also couple that with moisture, which allows yeast to grow.
That's nasty.
And yeah, these dogs are coming in every 2 or 3 months, and they've got these same infections. And there's a couple tests that you have to run on them literally every time, because skin infections in dogs look just like skin cancer in dogs, and you can't differentiate one or the other just by looking at it. So you come in, it's the same test every time. And then usually it's very similar medications. And then, you know, you're out for whatever the cost is.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, you're back again. So that's the kind of stuff where pet insurance can really be helpful.
That is a great answer. Thank you very much, Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital and Dark Side of the Pooch. We have a couple more emails we'll get to us. And of course, go to TonyCurryRadio.net. That's Curry with a K, K-U-R-R-E, TonyCurryRadio.net. You know how to spell it. And become a bonehead. You can drop your emails and we'll get into it. Beth in Starkville. It's her first from Starkville. Just had a baby. And what she believed was a very protective dog, seems like that dog isn't so protective anymore. And she's heard about this thing called resource guarding. Can you tell me what resource guarding is and how dangerous it is? And how do you keep your pet from doing resource guarding?
Yeah. Congratulations to Beth on your baby. And yeah. Resource guarding just means that whatever the dog has, it's afraid that it's going to get taken away, and it doesn't like that. So food, water, toys, bedding, anything that the dog considers theirs and important. And it can be a real problem, especially if you have a new baby that is at some point going to crawl around and not know that the dog needs to be left alone and the dog's stuff needs to be left alone. So the best thing I can tell Beth is to, if she feels like this is going to be an issue with a dog, to just go ahead and get a dog trainer involved. Okay. Because you love your dog and you of course love your baby and you love both of them. But you know, I had a call just a couple of weeks ago from a friend, and he's got a dog he's had for a long time, and his daughter moved in with him, and his daughter has a young child, and the young child doesn't know to leave the dog alone, and the dog bit the young child.
Oh.
And you know, that's a hard situation. I mean, obviously the human life comes first, and that's, you know, what happened in this case. But you know, it's a really difficult situation when you're trying to help a family member and you're also trying to help the dog, and those two worlds collide. So professional dog trainers are very important in situations like this. Because, you know, there's not a lot of foolproof things that you can do. I mean, you can muzzle the dog, but you can't keep the kid away from the dog, and you don't want to muzzle your dog all the time in the house. So get a trainer involved, Beth.
Yeah, typically, whenever I've seen babies with animals, it's okay. It works out pretty well. The dog will come up, lick it in the face, and for whatever reason, the animal realizes that baby is super important. But when you bring a new child into a family like this, what is the best way to go through that adaption process with an animal? Obviously you're holding onto your child. Do you let your dog nuzzle that child, or do you keep it away? How do you initiate that relationship between those two?
Well, I think that the first thing that you can try to do is get them used to the smells, get them used to the sounds, get them used to the sights.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that can, you can use a blanket or something that the baby has had, and, you know, just try to spend the same amount of time that you've always spent with the pet, which can be difficult, but you want to try to keep their routine consistent so that there's no, you know, jealousy isn't really the right word, but you want the pet to know that they're still important.
Yeah.
So being sure that they have their time, at least as much time as they used to have. But when it comes time to introduce a pet to any person, whether it's an adult or a child or, you know, a baby, you really want to have a way to separate the pet quickly. So keep the pet on a leash, mm-hmm. have a tight collar on it, and really try to look at the signs as you're introducing a baby or a person to a dog. Look for the signs. Look for what the dog is doing. If their tail's wagging, then usually, of course, that means that they're not scared.
Yeah.
But if the hair on the back of their neck is up, you know, that's a sign that you probably need to separate them before things get bad. If they're curling their lip, I mean, that, you know, that's going to be something that can be very subtle, but, you know, look for that. If they're putting their head down and their butt up, that's usually a playful position. Mm-hmm. But even that, you want to be careful because the dog doesn't know that, you know, how fragile that baby can be.
Yeah.
So even though the dog isn't in an aggressive stance, if he's ready to play and pounce, you know, you want to be there so you can, you know, pull that dog away, because aggressive play can be just as bad as just straight aggression. So you know, those are all things that you can look for.
I used to date a woman that used to do that, put the head down, the butt up, and boy, I knew it was time to play. It was a good thing. This is a Dr. Rapp, Stuart, Dark Side.
There's
of
a song about that. There's a song about that. It's not played on Tony Curry Radio Network because it's not in the genre.
No, it's not. And I've also seen women snarl their lips too. So I probably just keep my mouth shut. We have one final question here on Dark Side of the Pooch. Stan and Charlotte wants to know, point blank, do dogs like to wear clothes?
That's from Stan. I like Stan. That's a good question. I had a dog that, I don't know why I did this, but, I would put like t-shirts on it. And one time I put like a button up shirt on it, and she didn't seem to mind.
Yeah.
But it was more of just, hey, let's see what this dog will do if we put clothes on it. We have a lot of clients come in during the winter months, and they've got little sweaters on, you know, and I think it's awesome. So those dogs obviously like being dressed up. I can't speak for all dogs though, but we see a fair bit of them.
Yeah, there you go. All right. As always, great stuff brought to you by, of course, Ed's Pet World. They got exotic pets. They've got all kinds of red tail boas and tarantulas, snakes. They got birds, parakeets. They got parrots that talk. They got chinchillas. They've got everything. Rabbits down there. I get my mice down there for my snake. They've got all kinds of great fish. And, of course, Seth also travels the world looking for great collectible toys, all kinds of Star Wars stuff, and everything's still in the box. If you buy, sell, and trade, you find some stuff in your attic, man, take it down to Seth and Ed's Pet World, and they would love to do some business with you. It really is a Birmingham staple. It's been around for nearly 50 years. It's fantastic. Everyone knows where Ed's is. They've been building up some streets down there to make it even better for parking and everything. So get on there and check out the entire crew, Angie and everyone down there. I'd love to see you at Ed's Pet World. At Ross Bridge Vet on Twitter, the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital, of course, right there on Facebook. And you can check us out at noon and 8 every Monday here live on Tony Curry Radio and again on Spotify. The Dark Side of Pooch. Dr. Rab, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you. Until next week, we'll catch up, man.
See you then.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.